Raptors were rolling that first half, and then that third quarter, man, Boston just showed up and said, we're actually going to smack you around a little bit.
Yeah.
Defensively, they're so good. They give me, like, 90s Bulls vibes, like a poor man's 90s Bulls type of vibe, where, like, Tatum's Jordan, Brown is Pippen, and Smart is like Dennis Rodman, different positions. But
Smart has some bite to him.
He's got some bite. He's even got the dyed hair like Rodman.
Yeah.
But the way he defends, he hits some big shots in the third quarter. Tatum, like, turned Ananobi inside out a couple times last night. You don't see that often this year.
Yeah.
Boston's just flat out better. Just flat out better. And to chat about it, we're joined now by a Raptors reporter. Here's Josh Lewenberg. Yeah, that's what it looked like to me, Josh. You saw it up close and personal. But I thought that third quarter pretty much defined the game clearly. And Boston just said, that's enough. They just smacked the Raptors around.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I just think they're in a class of their own in the NBA right now. And I'm not sure I would have said that a few weeks ago. Like, at one point, it looked like it was Boston and Milwaukee in the East. There were a few interesting teams in the West, and there still are. But Boston is just, I mean, they are above and beyond any other team right now. Just in terms of, you mentioned the defense, and, I mean, they were the best defensive team in the NBA last year. But offensively, they've taken things to another level this year. Like, they're on a historic pace, and that's what we saw in the third quarter, where they just completely picked the Raptors' defense, which was pretty good last night. They just completely picked them apart, and they took the Raptors out of their comfort zone in the third. And that's what great teams do. Great teams are able to do that. That's what separates the good teams from the great teams. And I think last night we saw a good team, and we saw a great team. It's interesting because I really like Joe Mazzulla, too, by the way. I think Boston, even after the Ime Udoka situation, is well-coached. But Mazzulla before the game, as kind of picking this up from what Brad Stevens used to do whenever he came to Toronto, is the tradition of Celtics coaches praising the Raptors, killing them with kindness. It was like 10 minutes of Mazzulla talking about how great the Raptors were before the game, and I agreed with most of it. But then he said something that kind of caught me. He said, the Raptors can win in a lot of different ways. And I thought to myself, like, wait a minute. No, they can't. They're really good when they play their style. When I mean, they know who they are. They have an identity. And I think that's really good. That's more than most teams can say a quarter of the way into the season. The problem is, once you take them out of that style and out of their identity, when they're not winning the possession game and flying around defensively, creating turnovers and running, I don't think they have another gear. And that was the difference for me, because Boston didn't play great last night. They weren't at their best. They found another way to win. The Raptors couldn't find another gear once they were taken out of that comfort zone.
Josh, we were talking about Fred in the commercial break. In your estimation, what's up with him? Is he slumping? Has he got stuff going on? What's the deal?
Yeah, he was a little bit cryptic today when we asked him about the slump, in that he was saying that there's a lot going on. He's not going to go down the list for us. I'm not sure if there's, like, something personal going on in addition to the stuff we know about, right? Like, he was sick. He missed a bunch of time with an illness that didn't really seem to go away. He had it, then he didn't have it, then he had it again. And so either he's not 100% healthy, or more likely he's still working his way back into condition and rhythm and all of that. But Nick Nurse brought something else up that was kind of interesting, in that there is also a bit of a hitch in Van Vliet's release and his mechanics. Now, the Raptors, as we know, have spent all this money on all this fancy shooting tech. They've got the NOAA analytics system set up in their practice gym, which is a shooting tool. It's designed to measure a player's jumper, the arc, the accuracy of it. And what they've noticed here, I guess, over the last few weeks, is that Van Vliet's release is a bit offline. And Nurse said this is kind of unusual, that normally when a player is dealing with fatigue or injury, that it affects the arc of the jumper. So I guess it's a little bit short, or it's a little bit long, front rim, back rim, that sort of thing. But he said it's unusual for a player with good mechanics, especially a player with great mechanics like Van Vliet, to be shooting far left or far right. But that's where they're at right now. I'm not sure that Van Vliet would have appreciated all of this information being shared, but it's cool to know, and it's good to know, because it's something I think we should be keeping an eye on if Van Vliet continues to struggle. But it sounds like they're working on it. And the one thing that I'll say about Fred, and I think he kind of made this point today too, is that he hasn't just been a great shooter over the course of his career. Historically, he's been a consistently great shooter. He's a 38% career three-point shooter. He's never shot below 36% in any season that he's been in the NBA. So he's due for some positive regression here, and I would say it's probably going to happen sooner rather than later. The Raptors desperately need it from him because they don't have a ton of reliable shooters on this roster.
With Josh Lundberg, a Raptors reporter, in terms of the lineup decisions, Josh, what has surprised you more, or what will continue to surprise you possibly in the future? The idea that Koloko, you know, keeps getting starts and getting minutes, or the fact that Trent keeps coming off the bench?
Probably Koloko. I mean, I think the last time we spoke, it was Thad Young that was getting the start as the quasi-five or whatever the positions are with this team. But I liked it. I thought that was a good fit with that group. Koloko, I mean, it's sort of up and down with him, as you would expect from any rookie center, right? I mean, it's amazing to me that he's still playing as consistently as he is, considering I think we expected him to spend a lot of time with the 905. He's outside of OG Anunoby, the only other Raptor that's played in every single game this season. And yeah, I just think there are some games, some nights, some matchups where he's overwhelmed. I was really surprised, to answer the question, I was really surprised that they went with him against Boston, a smaller team, a team where maybe you could use more firepower in the starting lineup. And it looked like that's what we were going to see. I was doing my pregame hit, my live pregame hit for TV yesterday on Trent coming off the bench. 10 minutes before the hit, we found out, oh, Trent is actually starting, so okay, I'm calling an audible, I'm making some adjustments, and then 5 minutes later, we find out that no, Trent actually isn't starting. It sounds like Nick Nurse had a change of heart, so I don't know that this is a permanent lineup change. Speaking to Nick yesterday, he said they're still kind of trying to figure out where Trent fits best, whether it's starting or coming off the bench. He compared it to the guy he was traded for, Norman Powell, who we know filled all kinds of roles back and forth during his years in Toronto. But with Norm, like, his numbers were always significantly better whenever he was starting. And I mean, I hate to say this for Gary Trent Jr., who probably doesn't want to be coming off the bench going forward, but hey, he's been pretty good over the last couple weeks coming off the bench. His numbers have been better. His shooting has been much better. Maybe that's just him getting his rhythm back, his confidence back, getting healthy again. Or maybe there is something to the fact that he's going up against other teams' second units, and maybe there's an advantage there. I talked to him yesterday. He also mentioned that he kind of likes spending the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game reading kind of the vibe and figuring out where he can make an impact. So as long as that's working, I've been arguing for it for a while. I think there's a lot of benefits, both for the player and for the team, to have him lead that second unit.
Josh, LeBron coming to town, how is that changed with where he is at and the Lakers are at, as opposed to maybe 7 or 8 years ago, him coming to town?
I think it's still a big deal, though, but I mean, it's kind of weird with this Lakers team, because obviously it's not the same as LeBron coming in with those championship teams of Miami or when he was with Cleveland. He's a little bit older now, as we know, and he may not even be playing tomorrow. The Lakers are playing tonight in Cleveland, by the way. So that's a big game for LeBron. It sounds like he's going to play through a few different injuries that he's been battling. So I wouldn't be shocked if they sat him out for rest in the second night of a back-to-back tomorrow. And right now, I mean, when you talk about the Lakers, and they've actually been pretty good recently, as much as they were a punchline early in the season, they're kind of figuring things out. And it's not so much about what LeBron is doing as Anthony Davis. He's been incredible, like truly one of the best players in the NBA right now, maybe the best he's ever played. And that to me is the difference. You talk about the Lakers. Like,
incredible Josh roster, or doing his job?
Street clothes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's just it, is we've just been so desensitized over the years to Anthony Davis not doing what Anthony Davis should be doing, that now that he is Anthony Davis, we're like, oh, wow. But that's the difference, right? Like, the roster is still the roster. Like, it's still a flawed team to me. They're still not deep. They still don't have the shooting that they should have around LeBron and Anthony Davis, but this is a superstar league. We've seen it so many times before, including with LeBron back in his younger years when he was with Cleveland. If you've got one or two really, really good players, that could take you a long way in the NBA. And you're right. Like, the last couple of years, as good as those good players were supposed to be for the Lakers, if Anthony Davis isn't giving it to you every night, or if LeBron is getting older and missing games as he has been over the last couple of years, that might not be good enough. So we'll see how long this lasts. But yeah, I think more than I'm looking forward to watching LeBron tomorrow, I'm looking forward to seeing this version of AD, because we haven't seen it much recently, especially in Toronto. He hasn't made a lot of, he hasn't played a lot of games here because he's pretty much always hurt.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out, I guess, tomorrow night. The Lakers rolling through town, and as you said, they're in action tonight, so anything's possible with their lineup. Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Take care.
Josh Lundberg, our TSN Raptors reporter.
You're talking to talk about a guy that's informed and works. Jay Lou.
Yeah. He's on top of things.
Yep. On top.
He is on top of things. For sure. And, again, Raps coming off a loss that somewhat predictable last night. But tomorrow, if you get the Lakers on a back-to-back, and if LeBron doesn't play or Street Clothes doesn't play, you know, you got to take advantage tomorrow. You have to. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Lightning, December 20th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this former Maple Leaf represented his country in the 2006 Olympics. Okay.
So, Russian? Didn't he say?
Yeah, he was born in the Soviet Union, and then I guess he was in the Olympics in 2006.
Yuskevich. I'm telling you.
I don't know. It could be. You may have picked that off immediately.
Call it right. Well, that's all I think about when I think of old Leafs than Russians.
Yeah. Yuskevich.
Who was the other guy? Borchevsky?
Nikolai, yeah. He scored the 93 winner.
I'll never forget that Olympics. The captain, Matt Sundin, wins gold medal. Fergler's like, get home. You're not going to Sweden for the party. He just gave him the Heisman and said, stuff it, Ferg.
Actually, I am. Yeah. Yeah, see you
I'll
later.
See you when I'm back.
Get home. Don't go to the thing in Sweden.
Yeah.
Sorry, Fergie.
I can't confirm or deny if I'm coming back to Toronto.
I can't confirm or deny my orders were just... Yeah. Full stop by the captain.
Yeah, he basically confirmed he's going to Stockholm, and then we'll see him after. Hour two up next, Mike Johnson will join us. Leaf stars tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.